And welcome to the Climate Minute, your source for insight and perspective on global warming news. My name is Ted McIntyre. This show is for the week of April 18th, 2022. The carbon dioxide level in the atmosphere is 418.82 parts per million, and there are 2,821 days left before the year 2030. The clock's ticking. Well, one of the things we found here on the Climate Minute podcast is that the stories, what I call the origin stories of our guests, are oftentimes very interesting because they provide an insight to people, perhaps like yourself, dear listener, who's interested in climate but doesn't really understand why. It doesn't have some simple story that says, I really care about this because. And so oftentimes when we have interesting guests, we try and query their background to find out how they ended up doing what they're doing as opposed to the million other things that people could be doing. And these are all choices that you make. How come your particular path led to being a climate activist? Well, today we're pleased to be talking to Dominic Frangillo, who was elected at the age of 22 to be a counselor in the town of Caroline, New York, and subsequently became the assistant mayor. He is, since that time, is the co-founder an executive director of an organization called Elected Officials of Protecting America, which is basically seeking to get electeds in small towns across the country educated, cognizant, and active on climate change issues. Those are very big, very high-level, abstract kinds of goals in life, and they're all very good. And I guess the question is, Dominic, well, first of all, welcome aboard.
Thank you, Ted. It's a pleasure to be back.
Well, a guy like you could be doing a lot of things, right? There are many options in life. Question is, what brought you to where you are today? What childhood experiences, what high school experiences, what books did you read? You know, what did you see? What did your dad say to you one time? I mean, all these things. How come you are where you are and not someplace else? That's a hard answer. That's a big, big, big question for anyone. So I don't want to put you on the spot, but do you have a story?
Well, my grandfather, Ed Frangillo, who lived for a long time with Joe Frangillo in Franklin, served in the Korean War as a tank mechanic and came back and worked three jobs to put his, food on the table for five kids. And Joe Frangillo, the owner of the Little White House, really a pioneer of women entrepreneurship as, a clothing professional, was really inspiring. I mean, my dad was the first in the family to go through college, and he really dedicated his life to making a difference for kids. And so I kind of rubbed off of, hey, it's important to have a big purpose in life. And he ended up actually doing the first study that found that 54% of child deaths worldwide are caused by malnutrition. It became a really important, scientific article in the global public health community. So, when I was growing up, my mom was walked up and down our dirt road, grew up on a dirt road. Cows across the road, farming community in rural upstate New York on the watershed divide between Susquehanna and the St. Lawrence. And, we're walking up and down the road, picking up trash cans and bottles that people threw out their can window, out of their car windows. And she taught me about erosion and how, topsoil during rain events gets washed away. And I just remember learning from her the importance of taking care and stewarding our living planet, our community, and how important that is. And I guess I got my start in activism by getting so fed up at doing this. Like, hey, we're up and down this road so many times a week. People keep throwing more cans and bottles and trash out their windows. Like, so my plan was I started saving it all, and I was going to put it in a pile at the bottom of the road and stick a sign in it that said, please stop throwing cans and bottles out your car window. And went down in flames because my dad was like, yeah, no, you're not going to do that. So, so activism got off to a rocky start. But, I in school wanted to learn why was there war, why is there poverty, and, you know, it was important to me. I really wanted to make a difference and be part of a community. So my plan was to join the Peace Corps. So I spent the summer in New York City, because that's kind of like a foreign country to me if you're from upstate New York, and did door knocking for candidates for office like Bill de Blasio, and met a lot of people through, you know, in low-income communities, communities of color in Brooklyn and Queens and the Bronx. And that was really insightful. And helping put a press conference together, the steps of City Hall was really interesting. And then, you know, the next summer in Costa Rica, lived on a farm, a pineapple farm. And that was really eye-opening, because actually 90% of the rainforest was actually cut down in that area. And it was cut down for farms, for pineapple export to the United States. So here's supposed to be this hotbed of biodiversity, and starting to see the connections of the global economy and the consumer-driven economy, and just how important, how actions, you know, simple as buying something from the grocery store has an impact of destroying and driving economic and ecological decisions elsewhere. So, you know, out of school, taking classes, learning about green cities and solutions, I decided, hey, I'm going to join the Peace Corps. So,
You're very, you come out of a context, a familial context of people that are conscious, your grandparents, your parents, right? And they were basically pointing out, I mean, the erosion, the story about the erosion on the road is probably like the one thing you remembered as a kid, right? Of the thousand things your mom told you, right? That there were probably all kinds of, you know, that you were given an appreciation for the place you were in, right? And that how it, and I guess the fragility, my own experience is similar. I mean, I grew up on the shore of Massachusetts, and I was always aware that we were always worried about hurricanes, which only came once in a while, but when they came, they were bad, right? So I always had this idea that you better watch out, because Mother Nature can be nasty when she makes up her mind to do it, right? Similar things where you see these effects, and it bubbles up through your life in different kinds of ways. So but I mean, the idea of going to realizing the interconnectedness of pineapples from Costa Rica and the sort of the plastic bin tin you buy it in now, right? You say, oh my God, everything's connected. And we were speaking before about how Ukraine, the gas in Ukraine is connected to what we're doing here in the United States. I mean, everything is interconnected. I think there's some sort of Zen phrase hiding in there, but I don't want to go there. Well, Dominic, thank you very much for taking the time to chat. I really appreciate your sharing your story, your where you came from. I think that the work you're doing, remind me, how can people, if they want to find out about national elected officials protecting America, that your nonprofit that's working on climate issues, what website should they go to?
Yeah, so folks can visit Elected Officials to Protect America online at protectingamerica.net. It's protectingamerica.net. And if folks are interested, there, you know, we do have a training arm as well. So we, I've had the privilege to speak on, you know, over 24 campuses now across the country, and really help inspire and train and motivate, you know, students and those to get engaged, to move from awareness to action, and to help bridge sustainability, civic engagement, and political movements to help build the next generation of leaders. So, and inspired as well by my cousin and family member Kobe Frangillo in your town.
It turns out, dear listener, that I didn't know Dominic lives in New York, but it turns out that his cousin is a counselor in my hometown here in Massachusetts. So it's, in addition to everything being connected, it's also a very small world, right? You'd be fascinating stuff.
Well, it seems to run in the family of running for office when you're in your 20s. So if people are interested, they can also visit inspiringcivicleaders.com, inspiringcivicleaders.com, to learn more about how we can work together with you to help move your leaders from awareness to action.
That is an important one. What we'll do is we'll put those links up on the website. The website will be on the MCAN blog. To get to the MCAN, get to the podcast on the MCAN blog, go to massclimateaction.org, scroll across to newsletters and more, pull that down, find the blog and podcast. And in there, you will find the hot links to this stuff. But you just heard them, so they're already in your head. So, you know, protectingamerica.net, that's a place to go. If you have comments, please send us an email to podcast@massclimateaction.net. Let us know what we ought to be talking about. That's podcast@massclimateaction.net. You're listening to us on your smartphone using one of the modern podcast distribution apps. Please ask all of your friends to listen to us on their favorite modern podcast distribution app. I want to thank our good friend D.R. Tucker for his continuing research support. I want to close where we always close by saying that we recognize the necessity of personal accountability, that we accept responsibility for building a durable future. And we believe it's our patriotic duty as citizens to speak out. Because of that, we have to insist that the United States transform its energy sector over the next decade under a just and equitable plan that uses regulation, investment, and a price on carbon that respects environmental justice communities. So, Dominic, thank you so much for taking the time to chat.
It's my pleasure, Ted, and looking forward to seeing you quite soon.
Thanks, everyone, for listening. We'll talk again soon. Bye-bye.
Very cool.